welcome to another episode of the PE Geek Podcast, episode number 34. Now, in the last episode, we took a look at the various tools that you could use to be more organized and, you know, keep track of attendance and all of those sorts of things that are part of the teaching that we obviously have to do. And in many ways, they're secondary sort of things that we do, however, really important. And one of the ones that we actually focused on and sort of hinted at as being important and really useful for a PE teacher was that of portfolios and being able to sort of create portfolios that follow through with a student and sort of enable you to showcase learning artifacts and various things that a student is doing in your PE classroom. And the whole point being that you can sort of share these with parents and sort of build up this really amazing library of the learning that they do in your physical education classroom. So I'm really interested in dedicating an entire episode to how you can go about creating a portfolio. And by a portfolio in PE, I mean, you know, how can you combine everything that a student does, you know, videos and artifacts and you know, assessment material and pictures and audio recordings into one sort of package that follows them through their school years. Now, all of the notes and resources are going to be found at thepeergeek.com/34 for episode 34, and I hope you head along there to click on anything that you find useful. But let's dive into today's episode. Now, over the course of the last few years, I've spoken with numerous teachers about portfolios. And in many ways, the same discussion has sort of arisen where schools either don't do it, it's not something that they've ever done, or they do it, and it's done in a way which actually adds a tremendous amount of administrative effort and workload to the teacher, which therefore means that they spend extra time focusing on this particular, curation of the portfolio and less time on what the actual benefit of doing this is. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what a portfolio is, basically it is some sort of system for curating information or learning artifacts about a student. And it's not just something that is sort of reserved for phys ed. I mean, there's portfolios that happen in all sorts of classrooms, you know, right down to junior classes, up to senior classes, and everywhere else in between. And for every sort of subject area, there's sort of tremendous value in taking these artifacts over a period of time. And the real plus side to portfolios is that it tells a story. And if you're taking multiple artifacts from a student, for a group, for your class, etc., it actually helps to build up a picture of how they have progressed over time. Now, in every single class that I've ever made a conscious effort to do, you know, sort of storytelling through a portfolio, I've been able to actually write the best reports for a student. I've been able to have the best parent-teacher interviews. I've been able to have the most meaningful assessment because I've actually got these artifacts that I can draw from. And the very first instance I ever had revolving around the use of portfolios was simply a matter of using a flip video camera. Now, a flip video camera was a pocket camera that came out sort of in 2008, and it was really easy to record and get that footage off onto a computer. And the first portfolio I ever did was pretty much used completely with a pocket video camera. I would take it to PE class, I would film students doing stuff, I would, at the end of the class, plug it into my computer and use that, you know, that video content, put it into folders based on kids, and that was my portfolio. Now, in terms of work, I mean, it was, you know, it was quite hands-on. I had to be sort of consciously thinking about where videos went and remembering to get them off the devices. So over time, it's been nice to see sort of developments in this space that enable us to sort of capture everything that students are doing across a whole gamut of not just video, not just audio, but, you know, documents and everything else in between that students are producing on a daily basis. Now, one of the maybe simplest ways that you could get started with curating a portfolio for your PE students would be to utilize something like the Google Drive app. Now, the Google Drive app is great because it obviously exists on any mobile device and any iPad and etc. And basically, you could go about creating a folder for each kid inside of Google Drive. And every time you wanted to add artifacts to that particular student, all you would need to do is, you know, take those particular photos or videos and make them available into that student's portfolio. And over time, you build up this enormous little collection of artifacts that help support your view or what they've learned in your class. However, there are definitely better ways to achieve this. And obviously, part of the whole power of a portfolio is in its ability to make it publicly shareable to a parent or to, you know, other teachers or to administrators, whatever it may be. So capturing the portfolio is, you know, really powerful, but being able to show it is probably what today's tools have that other tools that are just about capturing don't. So to sort of make this really easy in terms of showing what students have sort of completed in your class in a portfolio setting, I recently finished the development of a completely 100% free Google Drive extension called Site Builder. And you can head along to the peergeek.com/site builder and it will redirect you to the place where you can get access to it. But basically what happens is if you have all your students' material going into folders with their names and all that sort of stuff, you simply point the site builder towards the base folder and you click one button and it'll go about creating all of the Google sites for your students. Now, a Google site is a web page. And if you can imagine one web page that you know, is your class, so year 12 PE or whatever it may be, and then the sub pages are the students. And if you click on a student sub page, you see the embedded media, videos, pictures, etc., that have been added to that particular site. So that's made entirely possible with Google Site Builder, which is a tool that I've built completely for people who are trying to do a portfolio with Google Drive. Now, if you're working in a Google Apps for Education setting, that's going to be really sort of integrated with the stuff that you're already doing. You're probably already using Google Drive. You're probably already using Google Sites. This is just a one-click way to have a site built for your entire class in a great way to sort of showcase and share what they're doing. However, in saying that, even though I did build Google Site Builder particularly for that purpose, I think there's better opportunities now for building portfolios, and I'm really, really interested to show you and talk about what they would be. So if you're looking to take this to the next level, one of the things that I think is imperative to make portfolios really work in your school is to try and get rid of the teacher curation aspect that goes with them. Now, it's easy to say, but in actuality, it's often difficult to do if you only have, you know, one or two devices and, you know, you've got younger students and so on. But one of the approaches that I've used and had lots of success with younger students, right up to students of other, older age groups, is the idea of a portfolio corner or the showcase corner, as I call it. And the way it works, quite simply, is I have my iPad or my device sitting over in the corner or on the side of the classroom. And whenever I see something that I think has value for a student's portfolio, I actually just reward them by sending them over to that particular portfolio corner. And the reason I choose a different location to the classroom is because of the fact that it becomes this reward in itself. So just by the fact that they're moving over to the corner, everyone else in the class sees that they're going over there to add something to their own portfolio, and it becomes this sort of like, in a way, competition about who can add the most stuff to their portfolio. The best thing is I send them over in pairs and, you know, their partner films them doing whatever it is that is part of that particular session, and they end up doing the work for me. So in the instance of, you know, the Google Drive example before, they could be just taking videos on your device, and then at the end of class, you would add them to Google Drive. However, if you're using a different service, such as Easy Portfolio, which is an app that I built, they could be directly adding their portfolio content straight to their own portfolio, basically meaning that you don't have to do any of the portfolio curation yourself, and you're using the reward of the portfolio corner to help fuel the desire to actually go and add things to a portfolio. The net result is you end up with this enormous collection of artifacts, you know, that have, you know, been sort of accumulated over many, many weeks, that you can use to initiate discussion with parents during parent teacher night, that you can use to showcase and advocate your program, and you can use it to, more importantly, assess a student, show the progress that they've made across a given unit. Now, I briefly alluded to Easy Portfolio there, but I'm going to mention that in more detail now. And Easy Portfolio is the portfolio tool that I built. Now, it's actually one of the first ever iPhone, iPad apps I ever built. And comparatively to every single app I've ever made, it is the most downloaded, the most used, the one with the highest ratings, and it's for a reason. I mean, it's just continued to work, continued to document student progress over a long period of time, and it's something that teachers have really found useful, including myself. Now, it started life as me simply wanting an all-encompassing way to document the various things that students were doing. So once you create your classes in Easy Portfolio and add your students or whatever you intend to format your portfolios as, you can then get started with adding content. Now, you can add videos and photos and audio. You can put in URLs. So if they're working on the internet, you can, you know, put in the URL to whatever it is that they've created. You can put in documents, or you can put in sort of text-based notes. Now, collectively, all that material goes into a portfolio, and then you can just look at it anytime, filter by record type, and see the changes that that student has sort of produced. Now, the really good positive side to this is that it's all stored on your device. So a lot of teachers that I know use it because it doesn't actually require them to have access to an internet connection. So even without internet, they can have the whole portfolio corner set up. They can be capturing media and they can be putting it into students' portfolios, or conversely, the students can be putting it into their own portfolio. What actually happens then is that you end up with this enormous library over a period of time that you can use in really powerful ways. Now, Easy Portfolio goes a little step further by actually enabling you to export the portfolio content out to any of your favorite sort of cloud services. And we integrated Dropbox initially so that you can, with one click, export to Dropbox, and it'll create a class folder and then individual folders for each kid. And in all of those individual folders has the media and the content that that they sort of have amassed. We also integrated to Google Drive. So if you are a Google Apps school, you can be recording the portfolio content, one click export to Google Drive, and then you can hit the Google Site Builder and it will create a Google site using all the media and so on that that you've amassed over time. And that becomes a really powerful way to share it with your community. Alternatively, all you need to do is simply connect it to Google Drive and Dropbox, like I've described, and within those tools, you can share them out to parents. Now, I know a number of teachers who are doing exactly that. They've gone and exported it to Dropbox, they've clicked the share button in Dropbox, and they've shared it to a parent, and the parent is then able to follow along with the files and content that is being added to Easy Portfolio. Now, Easy Portfolio, for me, is the app that I'm the most proudest of, and I really mean that. It's one that I have built on Android because of the demand there, and we are currently working on building it into a cohesive web service so that regardless of what device you're on, you can see the portfolio, you can send them home, and sort of turning it into this all-encompassing solution for portfolio tracking year in, year out. We've got over 500,000 people who have downloaded the app, which means that there is a great reason you know, in terms of people are actually liking it. There's a good reason for us to go ahead and pursue this next level. And it's a great way for people who have never used portfolios to get started in on the ground level, so to speak, and then sort of work their way up to sharing to parents and so forth. Now, the final couple of portfolio tools that I think are worth mentioning, because I have had success using them myself, and even though I have personally an Easy Portfolio app, I still venture into the use of other portfolio apps when the situation sort of needs it. And I have lost count of the number of people that I've guided towards 3ring.com. Now, it's a completely free service. However, depending on the feature set that you want, there are pricing, but at its basic feature set, you can create your classes, create your students, and start to document material. The difference here is that it doesn't connect with any of those cloud tools that are starting to be used in schools. There's no Google support, Dropbox support, etc. But you get to take photos and videos and text and audio, and you can record them and add them to students' profiles really easily. Now, the good thing is here, what actually happens is as soon as you've made the recording of the artifact, it is made available on the 3Ring website or anywhere else where 3Ring is accessible through your mobile device or through a web, you know, access with your username and password. And that means that each student gets the capacity to view their portfolio as it's being created and sort of make comment on it and so on. But also, parents get the ability to do the same thing. So very easily, you click on a student inside of 3Ring, you type in the parent's email address, and it sends them an invitation so that they can view the artifacts that their student has been involved in. Now, you can think about how powerful that is. So that as you are literally taking material in class and taking a few pictures here or there or videos or interviewing a student at the end of class about, you know, what they've learned, etc., the material is going straight to their portfolio, but more importantly, is being communicated to the parent that new artifacts have been added. And this just adds that conversation that you have. It means that you're constantly communicating with them about the improvement of their student and the things that they're doing. And the net result is a really sort of rich experience showcasing the learning that they have sort of amassed. So I would really recommend going and checking out 3Ring at 3ring.com, which is actually spelled out threering.com. Go and check it out. Download the mobile app on your iPhone or your Android, and then see how they sort of work together to enable this really easily accessible space that's all about documenting learning progress. Now, the other one that's very similar to 3Ring, you know, sort of touches on a few different areas, is FreshGrade. Now, with FreshGrade, it actually has a very similar feature set to that of 3Ring. Obviously, you can create your classes, you can start to assign artifacts to students and invite parents through the separate parent app and students through the separate student app to be able to engage in the conversation around in the various artifacts. So very easy to set up, very nice and visual app. But yeah, in terms of features, very similar to 3Ring. It has that connected sort of network that means that your parents can be really engaged in the learning process of your students. You know, the exciting part about it is that you can actually see when parents view particular learning artifacts in portfolios, and you know, they can obviously comment on it, they can comment on the results that students have achieved, and it's just a really good way to create that triangle effect that is so important to student success. And that triangle effect means that, you know, parent, teacher, students, all connected with learning in the middle. And when you have that triangle effect and when you have tools that make that sort of possible, it really does go a long way to improving a student's outcomes. Now, obviously, we've looked at a number of different portfolio approaches. There is really no perfect approach. I mean, a perfect approach will be different for your school. However, I know for a fact that lots of these tools are being utilized in physical education classrooms with a high level of success. So whether you're using simply the photo camera or the video camera on your device and saving them to your computer, or using Google Drive and then, you know, getting them to parents via the share button, or you're using Easy Portfolio or Three Ring. The net result is you get to actually build up evidence to support the learning that your students are participating in. And that's really, really exciting. So if you're doing it a different way, feel free to send me an email at jared@thepeergeek.com, and we can possibly do a follow-up interview surrounding different ways that people are creating portfolios and documenting evidence for their students. Now, that brings us to the end of episode 34. I just want to give you a brief overview of what's happening in episode 35, which is the second of our listener stories of success. We're actually interviewing a peer teacher here in country Victoria, not too far away from where I actually live. We've met on a number of times, and I was really, really excited and lucky to be able to get a chance to talk with him about the things that he's doing in his classroom. So I look forward to bringing that through to you in the next fortnight. Now, if you have any questions, you know where to get me on social media. Otherwise, send me an email. And if you'd like to be featured on today's or a future episode for that matter, head along to thepeergeek.com/voicemail and leave a question. I sort of plan on waiting till we have a series of questions that match a particular theme and then putting them into the episode. So if you have a pressing question that you think I could ask or answer, sorry, on the podcast, go along and leave your question. All right, until next time, see you later.